interesting you mentioned the CACA, you help, you know, the people register.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Were there Chinese women registered at that time?
No. No, they weren't. They didn't care much about doing it.
Mm.
Or I don't know why they didn't do it, but you got to canvass each individual woman to see why she didn't do it. I don't know why she didn't do it.
But did you ever try to ask your sisters?
I didn't ask them, no. I don't ask them because they probably wouldn't want to go out and ask some old Chinese guy where he came from and what he wanted to do. And they, a lot of Chinese resent it.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to be, they figure they're jeopardize their status.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're illegals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to be. They don't want the immigration office to come after them. Many of them are crooks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to. I didn't ask any women to.
Right.
You mean register?
Yes.
To register themselves or to go out after solicit?
For vote? No. To register themselves.
No, I didn't ask any women to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 1924, about 1915, we didn't have women's suffrage.
Right, women wouldn't, but
and
the after. So.
Well, I did that long before, by the time women got suffrage and voting, I wasn't doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing that about 1915 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And we registered people and got them to go to the polls. And I think that we had as much trouble at the polls as the Negroes do now in the South.
Mm-hmm.
People resented. White men would mob them, kick them out, beat them up.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that happen at the Macy Street School. Where
mm-hmm.
we'd have to accompany the voters
mm-hmm.
to cast their ballot. Women were not in the ballot,
right.
not voters either.
That's right. Can you tell us about Peter Suhu?
No.
Was he a CACA president at that time?
Well, I don't know whether
he was
a president. I don't know who was the president. I don't remember. They had various presidents.
Uh-huh.
Over the period of time. I was not, of course.
Were you an officer of CACA in that time?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was. Well, we all helped.
Uh-huh.
We all some various stages of help.
Uh-huh.
Some of them more, some of them less, some of them. But there was just like anything else. There's always a question of whether it's worth a while or not, worth
uh-huh.
your while or not.
Uh-huh.
What do you want to do it for? What for? Nothing. Or for what?
Uh-huh.
Some of them do it for. Connections. They might do it for a favor of friends. they might not. They
mm-hmm.
might. But as far as the CACA in those days, I don't know what it is now, because I haven't been around there myself.
Uh-huh.
In those days, it was strictly for citizenship and to assist Chinese people who were eligible,
mm-hmm.
or who had papers,
mm-hmm.
to show that they were, to prove that they were native-born citizens
mm-hmm.
of the United States. Well, some of them were proud of being able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them would say, well, I got some paper, but it's kind of questionable.
Mm-hmm.
So if they find out or dig, they leave me alone, see? Don't dig out and say, you got a paper? Sure, I got a paper. Here it is. And the officer would walk away. Okay, well, he's okay. He's got a paper. But if you flaunt the paper in front of him, he might dig out, and where do you get the paper?
Mm-hmm.
Who gave it to you? How much you pay for it? You're not a citizen. We know you're not a citizen. But you got the paper anyway. You're a wetback. And so they don't want to expose themselves to that, although they can walk around and say they're a voter, and they are.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Individuals.
Right.
So you can't say the whole crowd of Chinese are all that way or all one way. They're
That's
all
right.
different.
That's
there
right.
hundreds of them.
That's right.
And they're all different. They got different reasons.
That's right.
some of them born and raised right here. They're proud of the fact. Or some of them are ashamed of the fact. Some of them come here, many of them came here with fake papers, and they become citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They become just like the Mexicans. Well, some of the Mexicans, they got different kind of law,
mm-hmm.
Changeable law. Immigration has a different kind of law too.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these Chinese, some of the anybody else, depends upon individual. Whether you say, I'm a citizen, I'm proud of it, I want to show everybody that I got papers. They don't want to show them. They want to say, leave me alone.
That's right.
If you leave me alone, I got the paper, I can stay here.
Right.
And if it comes worse to worse, I can show the paper and maybe I can stay.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I don't want to go and flout my right to be here. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in voting. You don't want to get beat up just to vote for a city councilman who won't even spit on you anyway. What do we care about whether it's Mexican or this? Like today, I got some literature from Snyder, I think, is in our district.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, he has his troubles, he has his money, he has his influence, and he sends out letters, and he has people send out letters, he gets contributions. Well, sure, that's part of the business.
Right.
But he doesn't do me any good, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I work for him? I shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
Well, same way with voting, with any other kind of thing. Chinese,
mm-hmm.
especially Chinese.
Mm-hmm. But you still believe in voting, though?
I vote as a matter of principle. I know very well that one vote isn't going to mean anything at all. I vote absentee ballot myself.
But in the early days, say, when you were working for volunteer at CACA, you must strongly felt that it's important that the Chinese start voting.
Well, we just, in a way, you know, we thought, which was a fallacy, we thought that the Chinese should assert themselves. We found out very quickly that many of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, they didn't want to flout their citizenship. Maybe they
right.
weren't even citizens.
That's right.
So we felt that way, otherwise we wouldn't do it.
Right. What other things did the CACA do at the time? Did, you know, aside from encouraging people voting?
The reason, just like any political party, they are sponsor and they help and they contribute to politicians who would help the Chinese people in their citizen rights.
Mm-hmm.
That is all. They didn't sell anything, they didn't buy anything, and they didn't even have much money. They were solicited, of course.
Mm-hmm.
$2 here and $2 there for special occasions such as mailing and such, but not wages. We didn't get paid.
Right. Yeah. Was there any social functions, like
no.
a dance?
No. No, that wasn't the purpose of the thing at all.
So at that time, how about dinners and get
no.
together, the members?
I don't know if any, no.
Did you ever go to the meetings and how many people would be there in the meetings?
Oh, I don't know how many. I have no idea. Very few, shall we say, very few. Because what good would it do them to go to a meeting? What would they be meeting about? You see, you have to have an object for a meeting. What do you call them?
So who would be the one there? Peter Su, yourself, Tommy Lee, did you mention?
No, Tommy Lee wasn't there.
Yeah.
He was there, although he was his brother, I think. One of his brothers,
mm-hmm.
Sherman, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you were pretty young, and most of the members, because they were born here. In
I was about 20, I wouldn't say exact age, I don't remember. In 1915, I was about 20, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can figure it out when I was born in
92. Uh-huh. Okay, you were 18.
Or something like that, I don't
uh-huh.
know.
So then, do you remember the setup at the CACA upstairs of 415 at that time? know, the office was a pretty big hall.
It was a big, it was a good sized hall,
mm-hmm.
and it had a stage in front,
mm-hmm.
and in the back of the stage would be a sort of a kitchen-like thing.
Oh.
Kitchen, not a real kitchen, but to make, because you know, like Chinese restaurant have, I mean Chinese stores have,
mm-hmm.
A place where you could heat some water for a pot of tea,
uh-huh.
or you can buy food, you know,
uh-huh.
much easier than you can assemble a lot of ingredients and keep them there for how long, who knows,
mm-hmm.
who's going to come. If you want to eat, why go have the restaurant bring something up,
mm-hmm.
or go after and get it yourself,
mm-hmm.
and whoever's going to eat would eat.
Mm-hmm.
If you, on occasion, there wouldn't be any special occasion, no, it wouldn't be a dining room.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't operate a dining room or
that's
a banquet
right.
room.
That's
you,
right.
you want to do that, you'd go, the whole crowd would go to a restaurant to eat and walk off.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't have to clean up anything like you would in your own hall.
Right.
You see, in your own hall, your own place, you'd have just, the only thing you would be to be heat a pot of tea,
mm-hmm.
heat some water for some tea or something,
right.
or heat some chow that you would buy, or heat some food. You wouldn't undertake to have a kitchen or a pantry
right.
with a lot of ingredients, a lot of food around it. Who'd own it? So you don't do that.
Was there anybody lived up there?
No, nobody lived there.
It was just pure office.
Yeah.
Meeting hall.
Yeah, yeah.
How about Donghua next? Wasn't Donghua next to it?
Yeah, yeah. Same
it was
scale.
The same setup?
Yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was not built by Chinese, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you say that was these two offices were quite busy?
No, not busy at all. People would come there on occasion or no occasion. They probably wouldn't come. What for?
Uh-huh.
There's no reason to come there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we tried, some of the people try to have some kind of entertainment there, but that'd be spots by not regular, not weekly or not monthly or not anything like that. Just whenever you felt like it or whenever you could,
mm-hmm.
you'd do it and then it'd be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, different group of people.
Right.
It wouldn't be the same. People that do it all the time, every week.
Uh-huh.
And it'd be just for fun or just for their own amusement.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't, maybe people wouldn't get along. You'd
mm-hmm.
do, what would you do? I don't know.
Right.
If you want to gamble, or you gamble, you don't want to gamble, just a few people gamble by themselves, they'd go to a gambling joint.
Would they, like sometime in these family association or something, they have mahjong tables or something.
Oh, sure.
Would they have, do they have that in Donghua or CACA in the early days?
I don't know.
You don't remember though, huh?
No, I don't remember, but
uh-huh.
if you want to gamble, you wouldn't gamble there because you'd be gambling with your own money, you see. The idea of gambling would be to earn money,
uh-huh.
to make money.
Right.
They wouldn't imagine.
Not for real, pleasure,
no.
recreational type of a...
No,
uh-huh.
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe someone would.
Right.
Maybe someone would like to get into a mahjong game or a crap game or something like that, like black people.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they would just strictly go and come and gamble and leave,
mm-hmm.
come back maybe next week, next month, maybe never come back again.
Right.
Who knows? But the gambling joints are always there. They have been. Different ones. You try your luck one place, you try your luck another place, just like Las Vegas.
Right.
You go from one to the other.
Right. When you came back from Riverside, did you came back to Chinatown still at that time?
I came back, actually.
Wasn't that around the Depression time?
It wasn't exactly in Depression. That's how come we'd give up. That's why my bosses gave up the Riverside Ranch.
Oh.
Couldn't make any money, so
mm-hmm.
one day they announced that they were, well, we knew it was time to go home, time
mm-hmm.
to leave, so
mm-hmm.
we left.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Chinatown, well, no reason why I should go to Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
except the gas station which I sold
mm-hmm.
was already there,
mm-hmm.
it was still there, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, I remember. It was a football game. And one fellow I went with, he used to go with. We had tickets for the Saturday afternoon USC game.
Oh.
And so we went, about noon
mm-hmm.
to the gas station
mm-hmm.
where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the funniest thing. That was a new era. It was a motion picture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I stayed with that a long time. I became a union representative. It wasn't very popular in those days, especially with just like any union nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not quite like that.
Mm-hmm.
Worse. You see, labor unions were kind of frowned upon by many people. Well, not by me, because I had just finished the ranching business.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in it. I was broke. I went to the football game, and here it was. That place, that area, vacant area, north of Chinatown toward Macy Street, was full of trucks and cars.
Uh-huh.
It was a motion picture.
Uh-huh.
And so the guy said, you want to work in pictures? I said, no. He said, well, we whole bunch of us are going to work in a Chinese picture.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you go ahead. So we went to the ball game, and after we came back, it was still Filipino and Chinese, and we're lining up, and they said, we're going to work in this Chinese, in this picture. So I said, well, what do we do? He said, well, you go down to Tom Gubbins.
Uh-huh.
And you register with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he will put you on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he will, if he needs people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And we went to work Monday morning under the firehouse. Firehouse in those days was on Aliso Street. Aliso in San Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 5 PE cars there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no traffic.
Uh-huh.
So we're all a bunch of us climbed down with these red cars, and we went out to San Bernardino.
Uh-huh.
We worked on a picture called Shanghai Express.
Uh-huh.
It was Anna May Wong.
Uh-huh.
It was with Marlene Dietrich.
Uh-huh.
And from then, I saw such an injustice in the labor people. And they had, being a kind of crazy guy myself, I said, gee, how come the Chinese people and the minorities work so cheap?
Mm-hmm.
And downtrodden, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
So from then on, I got the bug of being a part of the union.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ever since then, I've been in the union.
Mm-hmm.
Not very popular at times, very good at other times. We did a lot of good. We got a lot of improvements.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the original board,
mm-hmm.
Actors Guild. So from that standpoint, I got a lot of, not only family troubles. My mother got sick. My father died. My mother was sick.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was sick.
Mm-hmm.
My other two sisters were school teachers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was this one. The one here was working at 9th Street, 9th and Stanford, as a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was working in San Pedro, in predominantly Japanese elementary school. She had to go, so it was my mother being sick, my brother had a cannery job. He worked in a fish cannery.
Mm-hmm.
So it was developed on me to take care of my mother
mm-hmm.
and my younger sisters, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so this union business and this picture business, I could leave it, I could take it or leave it.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like a steady job, you
right.
see.
Right, uh-huh.
So on times that I could take it, I took it because I had to take it
mm-hmm.
in order to make any money at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the union, it was a pretty good deal for me because in my position as a board member, I could get a lot of work that,
uh-huh.
that some people wouldn't get.
I see.
And it was a sort of a revolution. My part of the revolution would be a racial. They had 33 members,
uh-huh.
all dissidents, you might say, all against the establishment,
uh-huh.
against the bosses. So we had an election, a lot of ballyhoo, a lot of talk, and I was elected along with a couple, mostly dissidents. Indians, we had Negroes,
mm-hmm.
Filipinos,
mm-hmm.
and we had dancers,
mm-hmm.
and we had stuntmen, we had all kinds of people that felt aggrieved and thought they didn't like the situation because they weren't exactly minorities, but we became quite influential.
I see.
So I've been on, I was on there until I retired.
Uh-huh. Is this extra guilds for minority group only?
No, it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, that is why, that is a beautiful part of it. If you have it for certain people, you wouldn't be getting anything.
Right.
That's what they try to do, that's what the union tries to do, to include all people that are capable of doing that kind of work.
Right.
Like steel workers or ladies' garment workers.
Mm-hmm.
They have a big union for the ladies' sewing shops, you know.
That's right.
Of course the Chinese don't want to have anything to do with that.
Right.
But they should. But that's neat. That's their business.
Right.
They would get more, but you see, you work for non-union wages, you get less.
Yeah.
Or you get laid off quicker. So
everybody who want to be in the movie industry has to belong to the union.
Yeah, you do now, because in the early days you didn't have to. There was no such thing as a union. We, as a matter of fact, we formed a union.
Uh-huh.
And then we got to the National Labor Relations Board in Washington, and they passed a law requiring a vote, which we had a vote for the whole membership. And we were successful, the union was successful in demanding that all producers shall bargain with the union.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't, and so the union passed a rule that you belong to the union or you don't work, which of course is, it prevents the employers from going out and hiring a whole bunch of
non-union
people
mm-hmm.
for that occasion only, in which you can get for any given time, but you get a whole bunch of them and for that production. Next week you're through and the people are all scattered and the producers don't want to do any more, or
mm-hmm.
they're not going to do any
mm-hmm.
anymore, so they get a bargain price. So to prevent the bargain price, they have the, what we call a closed shop. So if you want to work, the people that work must belong to the union.
Mm-hmm.
That's and they have a limit. They didn't have a limit at one time of where you could take them.
Mm-hmm.
At one time you could take people. You wouldn't have to take people to long distance where you'd have to pay their room and board and transportation and time, you could hire them at that local place,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes they wouldn't be that many.
Right.
They want to go to Utah, for instance, and they want cowboys,
uh-huh.
especially cowboys in Utah. Well, certain they'd go up there and take a look, and they'd see how many cowboys they got.
Uh-huh.
Well, they haven't got enough, so they have to import them from here.
Right.
And so these people that go from here, they say, well, we don't want to be work one day a week,
mm-hmm.
and go look for a hotel, and maybe we wouldn't
cover the costs.
No, they're not only that, but they say you don't work tomorrow.
Right.
You work in about 3 days.
Uh-huh.
Because we've got nothing for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the union won't stand for that. I mean, won't agree to that. So they had to hire what they call portal to portal, like the mine coal miners, originated that phrase. From start to finish,
mm-hmm.
you want me to work, you start my pay now and sign me off when you get through, no matter if it's a week or whether you use me or not,
mm-hmm.
all the time. Don't take me out to Frisco and
mm-hmm.
leave me there and say eat and sleep yourself,
mm-hmm.
and we'll use you tomorrow or next day, and you can go home if you want to,
mm-hmm.
you'll get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could get somebody else, maybe they could.
Right.
So the employers would have an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there's no such thing. You have to pay from start to finish. Like I have been on many Chinese, I've been on many locations
uh-huh.
that we only work part-time, but they had to pay us from start to finish.
I see.
Well, there's many benefits from a union contract. Otherwise, they just take you there and take your chances, or
right.
you don't have to go, it's true.
That's right. How many films were you in?
Well, I don't know.
Well, approximately.
Well, I don't know. Hundreds, I guess.
Oh. So you work in the film industry till you retire?
No. I work in other things, too. Besides that, as I say, it's not a steady job. You don't work there like a steel or a truck driver or a streetcar man working and staying on the job.
Mm-hmm.
You work one day and sometimes you don't work. So you have to get a new employer every time.
Right.
So you get a new employer then. If nobody wants you, you don't work.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody does want you, you work.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. Well, as you say, there's like Negroes, especially, they like to say they don't get enough work. Well, maybe they don't.
Uh-huh.
How much do they want? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
They always want more.
Right.
And if you can always go and do something else. Like we have many post office people. They have certain days off a month, and so they are available during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm available at part-time. Part-time I'm not available. Well, but there's no prejudice against you if you can't work. You don't work, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they want you, at that time you're busy elsewhere, well, they don't get you. They get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And by the same token, maybe you want to work and you can't work because there's no work. You get unemployment. You can get unemployment insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's what they say, it's a racket, I don't know, but you do have to pay. That's another thing that we went into, our union,